Can you all see the slides? Can one of you speak up, please? Malini, I think you're self-muted. Okay. Bindu, can you see the slides? Okay. And you can also hear. Okay, good. So, we'll chant the Dhyana Shlokas and I'll switch on the webcam after the Dhyana Shlokas are complete. Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatvamanu Sandadhami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullaravindayata Patra Netra Enatvaya Bharata Taila Purnaha Prajvalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha Prapanna Parijataya Stotra Vetraika Panaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gitamrita Duhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanah Partho Vatsa Sudhi Bhokta Dogdham Gitamritam Mahat Vasude Vasutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayatratha Jala Gandhara Nilo Pala Shalya Grahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sothi Nakhalu Pandavai Rananadi Kaivarta Kakeshavah Parashariya Vachasaroja Mamalam Gitata Gandotkatam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambodhana Bodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatpadaira Haraha Pepiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvam Sinashreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Sunvanti Divyai Stavai Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha Yasyantam Navidusura Suraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. Okay, I'm unable to share the webcam, so let me see if I can. Okay, Malini, I hope you're able to hear me because I'm not able to share the webcam. Malini?
Yeah, I can hear you, Rama.
Okay, fine. So I think we'll
clear. Yeah,
we'll just go ahead. Good, good. We'll go ahead because I can't share the webcam. Let's not wait for that. Sadashiva-samarambham Shankaracharya-madhyamam Asmadacharya-paryantam Vande Guru-paramparam Om. So, we had started the third chapter in the last class, and if you remember, Arjuna started with a question because he was confused. He was having a confusion after listening to the second chapter of the Gita, and the confusion was regarding Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, and Arjuna wanted to find out which yoga is better so that he can choose the better one. And Lord Krishna wants to clarify that this from the third verse onwards, which we actually completed. We completed the third and fourth verse in the last class. So, first point that Lord Krishna wanted to communicate was, there is really no choice between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Both of them are compulsory for every spiritual seeker, because both yogas have to contribute and they have their own role in our spiritual growth. So what Karma Yoga can contribute, Jnana Yoga cannot contribute. And what Jnana Yoga can contribute, Karma Yoga cannot. Therefore, the first lesson is everybody requires both yogas, right? We can talk about exception only in some very rare cases. We also discussed that there are some spiritual prodigies who already have the maturity of mind because of the Karma Yoga way of life which they have followed in the previous Janma. So because the previous Janma, the samskaras are impressions which are, you know, already there in the Karana Shariram and in the Sukshma Shariram, we could carry it to the present Janma, and because of that alone we have prodigies at music level, at math level, in every field. So in spiritual field also we could have a few prodigies who have already gone through Karma Yoga, and therefore they have a very high level of maturity at a very young age, right? So, but we cannot say that that is the norm. That's the exception, right? So 99% of humanity needs both yogas, and that is what Krishna is speaking about, and he is saying that both are compulsory. So the second point that he is trying to say is they cannot simultaneously be followed. They have to be sequentially followed, right? Initially, the focus must be on Karma Yoga. There can be exposure to Jnana Yoga just to know what is spirituality. We can expose to Vedantic knowledge, teaching, etc. But we must be aware of our ultimate goal, right? So initially, Jnana Yoga exposure, followed by committed pursuit and dedication later on. So initially the dedication will be only to Karma Yoga, right? And the dedicated pursuit of Karma Yoga, right? Especially the Vishesha Karmani, the Pancha Mahayajna that we studied, will prepare the mind and the person can gradually, right? Gradually start tilting towards higher priorities in life, right? So then the Karma Yoga can be reduced gradually and the physical body also can become, the physical body also as years go by will start becoming less and less active, and therefore we can, you know, like they will automatically start, you know, looking at outward things and moving around too much, and then they will start looking at internalizing the teachings, doing more nididhyasanam, etc. So the shift will be very, very gradual. Right? So that is what Krishna is trying to say. So therefore, gradually from a prakriti or active lifestyle of karma yoga, one goes towards nivarti. So it's called prakriti and nivarti, that is a contemplative lifestyle of jnana yoga, right? So karma yoga followed by jnana yoga is the roadmap prescribed by the Veda, and Lord Krishna says Arjuna must initially dedicate his life to karma yoga, right? And because they are not ready for jnana yoga, and if a person withdraws from karma yoga, meaning active life without maturity, it can create a lot of damage. Krishna is going to speak extensively about it. So therefore, Lord Krishna wants to first give a warning. If you avoid karma yoga or avoid an active life, what are the disadvantages, right? So Krishna is going to talk about the disadvantages of not following an active lifestyle or karma yoga in the following shlokas, right? 4, 5, 6 and 7. 4 we completed in the last class. Right? So, now the second disadvantage that Krishna is going to actually mention about is that if a person, right, withdraws also, the mind will not allow a person to withdraw from karmas or activities and remain quiet in a place, right? Even though a person, especially an youngster, may be attracted to some spiritual places, spiritual gurus, he or she may like to withdraw. Even if one withdraws from activities, the mind will not allow the person to remain quiet. The mind will pressurize one to enter into some field or the other. Right? It requires extreme spiritual maturity for a very young person to vote for moksha and moksha only. Right? Generally, majority of us, what will we say? If we want moksha, yes, if available, but we have a long list of things to complete before we go to that, right? So there are a lot of worldly desires, right? And also the world is so attractive, right? As Swamiji says, the world has variety, novelty, and it's a lot of excitement in the world, right? So they keep on attracting you from, there are so many marketing strategies, right? They will keep telling you, okay, let's go on a world tour, or you know, let's go see Antarctica, or you know, let's go to the Arctic and see the Northern Lights. Or somebody else will say, here is a TV which is, you know, spread across the entire wall. Why don't you buy that? You will feel as if you are there and experiencing. So these will keep on happening because our sense organs are going to perceive all these sensory experiences and these attractions. So this will happen. So we have to develop a maturity over a long period of time, right? So in fact, Swamiji says that if you forcibly even take sannyasa and go, right? Very interesting point he said. He said the sannyasi will go there. He's taken to sannyasa because he wants to pursue spiritual studies. But instead what he will do, he will start a sannyasi welfare association, right? And then he will become a president, secretary, then funding, all of that. Because that is his natural tendency, right? Why? How does this natural tendency occur? If you remember in Tattva Bodha, we saw that there is Trigunasmika, right? We have Rajas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamoguna. So always there is a balance between the three. So one person will be more towards Sattva Guna, that will be predominant. Some will have Rajoguna. So a Rajoguna predominant person, you forcibly make him sit and say, okay, he has forcibly said that I am going to become a sannyasi. This is what will happen. So, in fact, it is very interesting that sometimes when we go to these ashrams, we will actually see the librarian sannyasi, we will see the cook sannyasi, we will see the office manager sannyasi. So, then you start wondering, they have taken sannyasam for a contemplative lifestyle, but they will not even have half an hour of time to do that because they are so actively involved in other things. So, Krishna is trying to say that, look, there is nothing wrong in having worldly desires. Legitimately fulfill them while doing Pancha Mahayajna, and your Grihastha Ashrama itself will bring you slowly to this, right? That is what Lord Krishna is trying to say, right? So let's chant the fifth verse, right? Like last week, I will chant the verse and then, you know, I will chant it the second time and you can repeat. Nahi kaschit shanamapi, nahi kaschit shanamapi, jatu tishtatya karma krita, jatu tishtatya karma krita, karyate hyavashak karma, karyate hyavashak karma, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi, sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. So, this is what Krishna is trying to tell in the fifth verse, right? So, as we were discussing, he is talking about how you should not suppress. So, Lord Krishna is giving a warning, kaschit, right? The general human being who has got several materialistic worldly desires, shanamapi akarma krituna tishtati. What this means is, even 1 second that person cannot sit quietly, right? In fact, there was an article which said that at the traffic signals, the drivers sit for about 120 seconds. Some of the large traffic signals. So, they are trying to make a game for 2 minutes. Because you cannot sit quietly for 2 minutes. So, that is how the mind is, right? So, the mind cannot stay quiet even for 2 minutes, right? So, therefore, Krishna says, shanamapi, even 1 second. So, the toughest task is not doing anything for a few minutes. Learning to be comfortable with myself alone for a few minutes, right, is the greatest achievement. So, that itself is one kind of a moksha for us, a stepping stone, right? So, learning to be comfortable with myself, and as long as there are pressurizing worldly desires, without even thinking, we will be constantly doing something or the other. And the pressure does not come from outside. The pressure comes from our own subconscious mind, which has got mountains of worldly desires, right? Therefore, every human being, because of his own personality and inclination, the type of desire will change, right? The type of personality, whether it is sattva, rajo or tamoguna pradana, right? Which we study in detail in the 14th chapter. So, now we are not going into the details. But these three gunas are constantly fluctuating. So, it determines your personality from time to time. So, to bring about a permanent change in the balance of sattva, rajas and tamoguna takes a long period of time. So, a little bit of, you know, daily parayanam, contemplation, upasana, right, japa, all of this helps you move towards a more, I would say, sattva pradana life, right? So that you will get ready to go towards more of jnana yoga, right? So, generally, he is pushed or whipped up by his mind, and therefore, even if you go to, say, Rishikesh, Uttarakashi, it doesn't matter. You can even take sannyasam, but you will not be able to focus. So, therefore, if you are Rajoguna Pradhana personality, right, then it is better that you involve in lot of activities which will take you towards Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement, right? So, that is very, very important. And there's nothing wrong in doing any of these activities, right? So, Krishna is telling Arjuna this now. So, why is he telling that? Because he wants Arjuna to actually go through Swadharma Anushtanam, and his Swadharma is fighting the war, right? So, Krishna says, indeed, no one can ever remain without action, even for a moment, because everyone is helplessly made to do action by the gunas born out of prakriti. So, you can only use your free will to direct it in the right direction, right? That is what we can do. So, for instance, the intention could be Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, but if you are not able to, you know, sit in contemplation and do this, then you will not be able to achieve the purpose, right? So, now moving on to the next verse, right? This is the sixth verse. Karmendriyani Samyamya, Karmendriyani Samyamya, Ya Aste Manasasmaran, Ya Aste Manasasmaran, Indriyartan Vimudasma, Indriyartan Vimudasma, Mityacharasya Uchyate, Mityacharasya Uchyate. Okay, the third disadvantage of escaping from karma, Lord Krishna speaks here, right? Suppose a person forcibly withdraws from karma, right? His personality will not allow, right? A person compresses the worldly desires and then say he sits in the Himalayan cave. He says he plans to meditate. But what happens? When he closes his eyes, everything other than Bhagavan or Atma will come. All the unfulfilled desires will be doing a march past in his mind. So the mind will start fantasizing various worldly pleasures, and when I go on thinking of unfulfilled desires, they will become stronger and stronger, and there is no scope for fulfillment. Why? Because he is sitting in the Himalayas, he has also taken sannyasa, right? So there is no room for fulfillment, therefore he will take a wrong route, and the person can even be, you know, prone to unethical, immoral activities also, right? So in fact, as Swamiji says, in the Himalayan region, you have a lot of people who actually go after drugs, because they don't have, see, they are not in grihasthashrama, they don't have a family, wife commitment, children commitment, neither are they in the ashrama under the protection of Guru. So they just want to do, you know, some who am I contemplation. So they go and sit there. Not everybody is capable, right? Because their mind is not ready. So you have these kind of issues, and if you just fantasize, there is one type of problem. But if you go to wrong deeds like drugs and all, it is irreversible process, right? So it is, and it is very, very important to note this, because the sense organs or indriyani are very, very difficult to control forcibly, right? It has to come in a mature, normal way, right? So outwardly he will pretend to be a meditator. Inwardly he is wallowing in sense pleasure, right? So what happens? He will know, I myself will know that I am a split personality. And in fact, Lord Krishna speaks about Arjavam, integrated personality. We saw it even as part of the earlier chapters, or even in the introduction to Vedanta. When you are actually saying a lie, right, there is a vak-manas conflict, because your mind is saying you should not lie and your tongue is saying a lie. So there is a conflict. Now similarly, if you have some ethics and then you are doing something different, right, then you will have an arjavam problem. We'll see a lot of it in the later chapters, right? So therefore, what Krishna is saying here is this man becomes a vimudatma, which means a confused person. Mityacharaha is, he is a double personality, which will lead to mental derangement, right? So Arjuna, please don't be in a hurry. Let spirituality be a enjoyable journey rather than a compression or fast track journey. Enjoy worldly pleasures. Spirituality never says suppress the desires. Make sure that they are legitimate and fulfilled in a legitimate manner, right? Veda permits four human goals: dharma, artha, kama and moksha, right? Kama means worldly entertainment, which will not spoil the life. Healthy entertainment in a healthy, ethical, moral manner you fulfill, right? And you get involved fully in karma yoga, parallelly prepare for spiritual growth also, so that after some time, I will start knowing the limitations of materialism, right? And I should enjoy whatever I am enjoying legitimately. And Dayananda Saraswati says, just like toys, we play as a child, right? And then as we grow up, we no longer play with toys. Like that, we will also get past the material world and start focusing towards spiritual things, which is a higher order goal. So refinement is, I should know the limitation of every worldly pleasure, and I should know the greatness of moksha. And when moksha, and as Swamiji says, grihastha ashrama itself is a very nice place to gain this maturity. Because with age, with children, with grown-up adolescents, and then they get settled, they have their own life, we have enough battering, enough experiences for this refinement to happen, right? So refinement is, I should know that the limitation of every worldly pleasure, I should know, right? And the greatness of moksha. And when the moksha desire becomes predominant, then I have become really a mature person and I have utilized my human life in a healthy manner. Therefore, Arjuna, let spirituality be an enjoyable lifelong journey. It's not a crash program. It's a revolution. It's not a revolution, right? It's not a revolution, but it is a evolution, a gradual evolution, right? So he says, having restrained the sense organs of action, what is that? Your karmendriyani, right? And your jnanendriyani, basically your sense organs, that deluded the person who remains dwelling on the sense objects mentally is called a hypocrite. So, if you forcibly restrain the sense organs, right? And that deluded person who remains dwelling on the sense objects mentally is called a hypocrite, right? So, the key points that we saw, right, so that, you know, we remember. One, avoidance of karma will not lead to liberation. Mind will not allow a person to withdraw from karmas or activities and remain quiet in a place. That's the second one that we saw. The third one is, suppose a person forcibly withdraws from karma, the mind will be only fantasizing various worldly pleasures. So when I go on thinking of unfulfilled desires, that will become stronger and stronger, right? This is a real beautiful teaching, very practical. So Krishna is not saying that you cut away from worldly pleasures, wear ochre robes and, you know, go do penance. No. This whole thing is a very gradual evolution, right? Next verse. Yastvindriyani manasa, yastvindriyani manasa, niyamyarabhatirjuna, niyamyarabhatirjuna, karmendriyai karma yogam, karmendriyai karma yogam, asaktasya vishishyate, asaktasya vishishyate. Therefore, the unique stage of every human being is an active lifestyle in which one is in society and preferably in grihasthashrama. Householder's life actually provides all the infrastructure for legitimate fulfillment of worldly desires, including the instinctive desire, right, to have a spouse and desire to procreate a child, enjoy the companionship of the opposite sex, also contribute. So, according to Vedas, householder life, it's an ashrama, is ideal for karma yoga way of life. It will serve as a beautiful mental cushion also, because human being as an individual finds it extremely difficult to handle ups and downs in life. So, at that time, the major portion of your life in grihasthashrama, you have someone to share your issues, your problems with. So, it's a very beautiful concept, and therefore, marriage was looked upon as an ashrama. So that, you know, if it is not looked upon as an ashrama and you don't assign the sanctity to it, then it becomes like, okay, if we get along, we get along, otherwise we walk out. This concept is very different in Hinduism, right? And because of this, the ashrama helps in handling ups and downs. And human mind always requires a healthy relationship to share feelings, right? A good confidant, a good relationship is required, which is like a shock absorber. Just like, you know, the car on our roads, right? So, it's a psychological cushion, right? Someone to share our feeling. And Veda considers householder's life as ashrama vyavastha, right? And it caters to spiritual growth. That's why in our tradition, the householder's lifestyle was never considered a materialistic lifestyle. It was always considered as an ashrama where we could spend time in doing, you know, rituals, having family get-togethers, bonding, etc. It was not just you and me. You can see the change happening today, right? We see that families are more and more becoming you and me. But the olden days, the Grihastha Ashrama was meant for serving others, having guests, taking care of 2-3 generations at the same time, right? It was always like that, right? So in Vedic society, marriage had always had spiritual dimension. It is not merely for sense pleasure, right? Now, no doubt it is a very ideal infrastructure for fulfilling worldly desires, but it is equally powerful infrastructure for spiritual growth also, right? So if we don't treat it that way, within a few years of marriage, we will have a fundamental question: is marriage as an institution necessary if we don't treat it that way, right? As a spiritual infrastructure. Veda considered it as necessary, and Veda looked at marriage institution as a ashrama, and the primary purpose of Grihastha Ashrama was Karma Yoga leading to spiritual growth, right? Therefore, Arjuna, I will talk about the Karma Yoga way of life, right, in which one can enter the society, get married, have children and work for spiritual growth, and parallelly, he can also get involved in Karma Yoga way of life, right? Instead of running away from society and planning to settle in some other place like Rishikesh or somewhere, stay in the family, right? And make sure that you involve in Pancha Mahayajna and slowly develop maturity, right? So, therefore, suppose a person decides to follow Karma Yoga, you have to use all your organs of action, Karmendriyani and Jnanendriyani, right? All. In Tattva Bodha, we spoke about Pancha Jnanendriyani, Pancha Karmendriyani, Vak, Pani, Pada, all of that we saw, right? So, we have to use all the organs of action and knowledge and only then involve in the Grihastha Ashrama way of life so that we can do Pancha Mahayajna, right? Now, Indriyani Niyamya, disciplining the sense organs to avoid addictions which are pitfalls in life, because the world is full of temptations, as I said, and these temptations can cause sensory addiction, right? So, therefore, for this, we need to take care of Indriyani Niyamya, that is to control, not control, but discipline the sense organs, right? Very, very practical set of advices here. And so that if I should not have, you know, like, first I should make sure that I am the master of the sense organs, avoid addiction to any of them, right? It could be as bad as drugs. It can even be as bad as 20 cups of coffee a day, right? It can be, or it can be cigarettes or anything, right? And the other thing is also to develop a conviction in your way of life, right? So, for instance, because of peer pressure, we do a lot of things, whether we are youngsters or whether we are middle-aged people. Just because on 1st of January, people like to go to the bar and enjoy and have a party, because others are doing it, we don't need to do it. If we have the conviction that we like to follow the Vedic way of life and the spiritual way of life, we can tell them very clearly that this is not our, I just picked this example, there can be many other examples. This is not our culture. Our culture is going to the temple at 6 o'clock or 6:30. Of course, it's totally another matter that we don't celebrate New Year on 1st January. That's a different matter. I just took this for an example. We could be bold enough to live according to our convictions, right? Very, very important. We don't have to do anything for the sake of others, right? So, even if 100 peers mock at me, I will stand by my conviction, that is the courage, right? Now, first rule is don't blindly follow anything. Be a master of sense organs, right? And therefore, learn, the mind has to learn to say no to the sense organs, first step, right? Because when you start thinking deeply, your mind should be able to first tell no to sense organs. You should not allow the sense organs to overpower the mind and take you in a different direction, right? Now, in the second chapter, we looked at sukha dukke same kritva, right? So, as human beings, we have the power to plan, right? Sometimes it will get fulfilled 100%, sometimes it will get fulfilled only 50%. We cannot, we will not have control on the success completely. by having a disciplined set of sense organs, we will be able to handle these extremes very well, right? So that is what we need to be looking at, right? So in fact, in chapter 2, 38 verse, Sukadukke Same Kritva Labha Labhav Jaya Jayav, again Krishna spoke about this point, saying detachment, right? Why it is important to have a detachment? Because I want success, but I should not get obsessed with success. So in all of this, disciplining of the sense organs or the mind to absorb shocks, right, better. This talked about, right? So niyamya means being in charge of your life, being in charge of yourself and never letting go, right? So this one, the one who practices karma yoga efficiently, he is an excellent spiritual seeker. But such a person has the sense organs under his control. It's disciplined control, right? So, O Arjuna, but having restrained the organs of knowledge, basically organs of knowledge is jnanendriyani, by the mind, he who pursues karma yoga with the organs of action without attachment excels, right? Now, I thought at this point in time, it's important for me to bring up a very beautiful example. Verses here. I'm not going to go through the verses in detail, right? Atmanagum ratinam viddi shariragum ratamevatu. This special symbol that is there is read as gum, and it is a Vedic symbol, right? So it is Atmanagum. That's the way you pronounce, right? I'm not going to chant and I'm not going to get into the meaning of this in detail, but this is the portion of Kathopanishad where, for those of you who are not aware, Yamadharma Raja, as the story I think you may know, Nachiketas actually, for due to some circumstances, maybe on another day we can get into the story of it, so due to some various circumstances, lands up in the house of Yamadharma Raja by mistake, because he's not supposed to be there at that time, right? And he waits. And because a Brahmin was asked to wait by the family members, because there was no male member in the house, the family members did not call him in and treat him as an atithi. When Yamadharma Raja returns, he says, I'm going to give you some boons. And as part of that boon, he asks for Atma Vidya. Of course, Yamadharma Raja tries to dissuade the young boy, but he's steadfast and he wants to know. And as part of that, Yamadharma Raja starts his teaching. And in that teaching, in chapter 1, section 3, the 3rd verse to 6th verse, Yamadharma Raja is talking about how a human being can take a spiritual journey, right? And there are two paths basically. Towards materialistic goals, for Yamadharma Raja, he is referring to heaven, reaching heaven, swarga as itself as a materialistic goal, and then moksha as the ultimate spiritual goal. He is talking about a spiritual journey. And to teach Nachiketa, he is giving this chariot example, a very beautiful example. So I just wanted to make sure that I make it simple, so I have a slide which will show you actually all the parts. Now what he says is, whatever goal we choose, we have to walk the path appropriately, right? And this is called Ratha Kalpana, this portion of Kathopanishad, right? So now what happens in the case of a chariot, there is a master who makes use of a chariot, right? First of all, the master uses the chariot to go on a journey. Now, the chariot moves with the help of what? There are horses which are connected to the chariot. And then the chariot is driven with the help of a driver, right? So, there is a master, there is a chariot, there is a driver, there are a set of horses. Now, is this enough? Now, the driver needs reins to hold the horses, to make sure that he can control them, right, in the form of the rope that is connected to reach the horses. So he pulls the reins or releases the reins to control the speed and the direction of the horses. So the charioteer and the horses are connected with the help of the rope called the rein. Now, so what are all the factors involved, right? So I just put up Gitopadesha standard format chariot itself here, but this has not got anything to do with Krishna or Arjuna. It is just that you take it as a set of horses, right? And then you have reins, then you have a master, you have a driver and the chariot, and of course the entire road ahead of the chariot is the road on which, the path on which the chariot is traveling, and then you also have the final destination, right? So master, charioteer, reins, horses, road and chariot. Now the chariot moves through the appropriate road, and through that road it will reach the destination, right? Now the Upanishad wants to talk about these seven factors in the case of a human being. Very beautifully done. And for conducting the journey of life. Now important thing is, whatever goal you choose, right? Whether it is material goal or spiritual goal, this is equally applicable. Okay? So who is the master? The Upanishad says, Jivatma is the master, right? So what is the definition of Jivatma in Tattva Bodha? We saw that, right? Sukshma Shariram plus Karana Shariram plus Chidabhasa is the Jivatma, right? If you recall, I spoke about Atma number 1 and Atma number 2. Atma number 2 happens to be the Jivatma, right? Which is not the all-pervading Atma, but it is the Atma that is blessing the individual Jiva, right? So Jivatma is the master, right? Now, the Jivatma, he does not travel alone from one loka to another loka, right? Loka to loka, he travels all over the 14 lokas. And he can travel only with the help of a chariot. And what is the chariot we are talking about? The physical body, okay? So very important point, the Jivatma, the master, right, needs the body, right, to travel from loka to loka, which is in the form of chariot. The comparison is with the chariot, right? So the Upanishad says, right, the sense organs are the horses, because you want to use the sense organs for various purposes, and therefore the sense organs can function only when the body is there. So only when you have the chariot, the horses can function, right? So the sense organs belong to the sukshma shariram. I hope you remember this when we speak. So sense organs are the sukshma shariram, and they can function through golakam. That is the physical part. The physical ear that we see is golakam. The sense organ or the power is coming from the sukshma shariram. We saw this in detail. Then the fourth one is the intellect, which is the charioteer, right? So that's the next comparison. Who decides the travel? The horse's travel is decided by the charioteer, right? Now, who decides whether the hearing sense organs must be used for, say, going to a hotel, right, or going to a temple, provided that you have both opposite to you? There's a strong aroma of the food coming from the hotel, and you have a temple on this side, right? Now your sense organs pull you towards the hotel. But if you have, right, a mind, an intellect, right, an intellect which will direct and which will be steadfast, then it will take you to the temple. If you allow the sense organs to pull you, it will take you to the hotel. Maybe you have already finished your dinner or your lunch, but just because the smell is so good, you might end up going there, right? I'm just trying to give you an example so that you will remember better, right? So often we have conflicts between sense organs, right? And the intellect has to take a decision, right? Now then comes the fifth factor, which is the mind, which is the rein. Look at the beauty of this example. It's given by so many, it is not even centuries, because it is an apaurusheya vishayam. Veda, right? Katopanishad has this. Yamadharma Raja having spoken to Nachiketa. The mind is the rein. So the charioteer, intellect, pulls the rein, the mind, in order to direct the horses, the sense organs, onto the appropriate road in the right way. Okay? So that, you know, you can go towards your destination. So the intellect has to control the sense organs using the mind, right? Now, intellect through the mind alone can make the sense organs function, listen, see, smell, etc. Now, very interesting point is, that's why when we do this puja and karma, we do the sankalpa, right? The sankalpa, I didn't know this before Swamiji taught this, okay? The sankalpa is the intellect addressing the mind. The intellect is addressing the mind saying what? Japam karishye. That means you are supposed to do japam. The intellect is directing the mind. But what does the mind do? It keeps going in all the directions, right? And that is why in Ashtanga Yoga, these connections are beautiful when you start making them. In Ashtanga Yoga, they say, unlike exercise, where you switch on the music at high volume and jump. In Ashtanga Yoga, they say, whenever you do the body movement, try to make the mind also go along with that. That's why your movements are slow in Ashtanga Yoga, and they ask you to observe the breathing. You, tomorrow when you're doing yoga, observe this. When you observe your breathing and you observe the posture, your mind is in the present and it is aware, right? So, very, very important point that, you know, the mind, it has to be back. And actually, when Swamiji gave this example, I realized that how many years we have not known this. What happens typically is when you lock the room and come out, okay? How many times it's happened to each one of you things? You go back and see whether you have locked it or not. Sometimes 3 times, 4 times, you walk down, go to the gate, come back. Why? Because your mind is not in the present, right? So the mind is constantly somewhere else, right? These things really improve with Ashtanga Yoga, right? Very, very important point here, right? So then what is the next one? Sensory fields are the roads. By now you would have guessed. Because the eye has a whole range of sensory fields, which is, you know, your TV, your entertainment, all of that. Your hearing, right, your ears. The hearing has its own set of sensory fields. Then you have your smell, everything, right? So, each sense organ has its own direction of sensory fields. So, it can take you in multiple roads, right? So, that is why roads are compared to the sensory fields, right? Now, what happens to the last one, the seventh one? That is the destination, the goal. Ultimately, what is your goal? What is your purpose in life? Do you want to just live a normal life, fulfill all the materialistic pleasures? Or would you like to go after religious pursuit, dharma, right? Or is it moksha? Depending on the destination, you are going to take a path. But however, for all these things, the common factor remains that you need to have control over the sense organs, disciplined control, right? Very, very important point. And this is an extremely beautiful example that is there in Kathopanishad. And I thought it is important to spend some time and understand this because Lord Krishna has borrowed heavily from Kathopanishad. One of the Upanishads from which lot of, you know, learnings have been borrowed by Krishna is Kathopanishad. And directly you can see, in fact, one verse is directly almost 100% lifted from Kathopanishad. You can actually see. So, Gita, Krishna or Vyasa has borrowed from Kathopanishad. Okay? So, now if the journey has to be successful, you have to keep all the instruments in condition. After some kilometers of journey, right, how do you take care of your car and all? You have to service it, right? All the parts of the vehicle must be in fit condition, right? So, you have to make sure that all the 5 factors, right, master, charioteer, reins, horse, chariot, or jivatma, buddhihi, manaha, indriyani, and shariram must be in fit condition, right? So, that is why if you see, in all of these Veda Antabhaga or any Veda, they have Dhyana Shloka in the beginning, right, where they will pray, you will wonder, let my ears be alright, let my eyes be alright, it will all be like that, right? It is because the sense organs are so critical to your spiritual journey, right? And Very, very important point, extremely important point is, even though each part may be fit and healthy, they must function as a team. Very, very important. Teamwork is important. If every member of the team is egoistic and does not want to comply with another person, why should I comply with others, right? Because I am great. What happens? Look at musical teams. If in an orchestra, each one goes one way, what happens to the orchestra, right? Very, very important, because if your eyes tell you something and your nose tells another thing, right, and your hands and legs want to do something else, what can you actually do? You will be in all directions and you will not be able to focus on anything and achieve anything. You can see people like that. One day they will go to one class, another day they will go to a second class, then after a week they will drop music, dance, everything, they will go to Vedanta. Then after that, they'll drop all that and go to Namasan Kirtanam. It happens, right? Because they don't have this the integrated teamwork of the sense organs, right? Very, very important point. So, and Yamadharma Raja actually says that your life is very similar to this chariot. So, make sure that you are not getting enslaved by the sense organs. Use your discriminative power, which is very, very unique to the human janma. It is not available to animals, right? Very, very important. So, this is what Krishna is going to speak about also in later verses, right? Now, in this particular verse, he is going to speak about these disciplining, right? So, let us chant this verse. This is verse 8, right? Niyatam kuru karma tvam. Niyatam kuru karma tvam, karma jyayohya karmanah, karma jyayohya karmanah, sharira yatra pichate, sharira yatra pichate, na prasiddh eda karmanah, na prasiddh eda karmanah. Now, Lord Krishna enters a very, very important karma yoga topic here, right? Now, there is something that I have to do and there is something that I want to do, right? Always, you have a choice. Now, between these two types of actions, which one is more important in life, right? So, Lord Krishna says, first lesson of karma yoga is this, and what I have to do is more important than what I want to do, right? We have been provided with the infrastructure at several levels, right? And with the help of infrastructure alone, we can accomplish everything in life. So, first and foremost infrastructure is our own physical body and health. It is our duty to maintain our body and health, right? Now, Gita says that it is our first duty to maintain our body and health, right? And you cannot work these extra hours and not bother about your body, etc. Our Gita is telling that, right? So, it is very important. So, for instance, somebody is having a, you know, minor chest problem in the morning. He cannot say that, I will look at it later, I have a meeting at 8 o'clock. First thing he has to attend to is his body's needs and health. Similarly, stress also, right? Pranayama or yoga classes, any of these, or Sandhya Vandanam, right, which is a daily ritual. If we don't do this, right, we are faulting on our duties towards our body, first of all, right. Now, some of the duties are towards our body and mind, and Krishna calls this Niyata Karmani, right. And in fact, in chapter 6, in 17th verse, Krishna talks about yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swabhava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha, right? Take ahara properly at the right time and right measure and have it regularly, right? Now, Krishna need not tell this, but he really comes down to our level and talks about maintenance of our health. Yukta ahara vihara, regularly walk, right? Don't use remote controls in the house, right? Literally, vihara, physical exercise is a must. So, Lord Krishna says you have to work, but for your earning. Never become a workaholic. It is as dangerous as alcoholism. let there be moderation in your working pattern. And finally, do not get into sleep deprivation. It can cause varieties of health problems. Krishna is telling this. Okay? That does not mean that we should sleep all the time. There are certain hours. We have to allot that time and we have to sleep during that time. So, I have a duty towards my body. That is first, right? And then we also have to take care of the Pancha Mahayajna, right? So, scriptures actually say that it is sinful to violate any of the Niyata Karmas, right? So, proper food, proper exercise, proper sleep and any healthy activity or karma, Pancha Mahayajna, right? Scriptures, they really warn that it is sinful to violate any of these rules which are prescribed, Niyata Karmani, right? They are compulsory. So, if you see, there is in fact, in the scripture, there is a Agamarshana Sutram, right? Which is, you know, said normally during, it's a Vedic hymn, when you're having a bath, right? You normally chant this and utter. And this one actually says, please remove my sin if I have done anything, right? So, this is every morning when you're having a bath, it's normally talked about, right? And reciting this Vedic hymn while taking a bath brings immense punyam, removes sin committed knowingly or unknowingly, accepting gifts from those who have sinned, right? And a dedicated decent lifestyle, self-discipline, righteous path and all were given utmost importance in the Vedic period. So, they even accepting a gift from a, say, a thief or a sinned person was considered a papam. So, every day for that they were praying, right? So, this is very, very important and they the important aspect to note here is every small thing that we do is treated as a religious activity with some significance, right? So, apart from the duties that we have towards our body and mind, towards family, right? There was important, you know, family gatherings during functions we met together. And today, even for husband and wife to spend time, say hello, is becoming a problem. And we don't even have time with the children doing some pujas and all because they are all the time busy running behind schools, etc. So, school exams and, you know, some other club activities and all that. So, the importance of family is mentioned even in the Gita itself, right? So, this is the second type of duty that you have towards family. And then you also have duty which is towards your society, right? Modern democratic society is right-based society, whereas in those days we were talking about taking care of religion, society, environment, in short, which was called Pancha Maha Yajna, right? So, Lord Krishna now says there are two options, very important point, right? After completing what you have to do, you can do what you like to do, right? But you should change the mindset to make what I have to do as what I want to do, right? Very important point. So, change the mind to make what I have to do as what I want to do. Very tough. But that is the maturity. And Karma Yoga requires maturity to convert this, right? And slowly over a period of time, we just start practicing this and then start loving whatever you are doing, the work that you are doing, right? Very important aspect. And of course, as I said, we have duties towards body and mind, family and towards society and towards the environment, right? And so, in this verse that we were seeing, Niyatam Kuru Karma, right? Perform the obligatory action, right? Obligatory action means Niyata Karma, right? Which is what we spoke about. Niyatam Kuru Karma. Perform the obligatory action, for action is superior to inaction. Even in the maintenance of the body would not be possible for you from inaction if you sit quietly, right? Ahara, vihara, everything is important, right? So, practice Pancha Mahayajna and if you do not do some of these things, the scriptures use a different, like carrot and stick. It uses stick. If you do all this, you will get some punyam. Now, it says if you do not do all this, you are in for trouble, you will have something called pratyahara papam. Because it is treating us like children. So it's telling us if you don't do your obligatory duties, there is punishment waiting for you in the form of pratyavaya papam. Right? Very, very important point. Now, we'll stop with this because I think I took more time to explain the chariot example, which was very, very important. And we will chant Purnamada and then I'll take questions. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, we can now take questions. Let me just see if there are any hands raised. Yeah. Binu, you have a question? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So today, ma'am, we started with all the human beings are doing the action. Then we understand that who is a mithyachara. Mithyachara means who is actually doing the, try to suppress the karmendriya and think and keep the desires in mind. Then we went into the chariot example. And the seventh shloka, we said that we need to control our jnanendriya by our mind. So my question here is, how do I control my mind? I understand the chariot example where mind is the rein. So how do I really control my mind? The reason I am asking is, my mind, when I woke up in the morning, my mind goes into different directions.
Correct.
Exactly, can we control the mind?
Correct.
Excellent.
I will just repeat the question for the people in front of me, because I have a set of people here. Okay, the question is that we talked about the chariot example and we also talked about how we should not have suppressed desire, etc. And we also talked about controlling the sense organs and bringing it under discipline. So how do we do this? Now, what Krishna says is that, and also what the other scriptures say is, first of all, this is a lifelong journey. It is not possible overnight, first of all.
Okay.
Second is that when you are young and when you are so full of energy, you will have to do work, right? So thing what Krishna and the scriptures are suggesting is, can you direct your actions, your mind, to do work which is legitimate, right? Which is ethical and which is also aligned to the Pancha Mahayajna. So, in the initial stages, you are not exposed to Pancha Mahayajna, right?
Okay.
So, you are
okay.
only carrying out your normal work. Now that you have got exposed to Pancha Mahayajna, can we spend a percentage of our time on Pancha Mahayajna? And I can tell you, right, from practical experience, that as you start spending time on Pancha Mahayajna, time, that is effort, money, right, quality time, both.
Yeah.
What happens is, slowly the giving becomes more, right? And the joy you experience makes you go more in the direction of Pancha Mahayajna. When I say Pancha Mahayajna, it includes everything, starting from Deva Yajna to Pitra Yajna to, you know, Manushya Yajna to your Bhuta Yajna, everything.
Okay.
So what happens is, slowly our mind starts getting refined. Now this is direction A. Now direction B, right? If you want to get ready for doing, say, Nididhyasanam in later stage of life. So what is advised is, as part of Deva Yajna, you start first with chanting, right? With your verbal chanting. Then you slowly go to your mental chanting. And then you go to just focusing on the God silently. So in this journey, what happens is your concentration improves and your sense organs are quietened. So slowly from japa to upasana to you are getting ready to go towards that pratasmarana mantram that I talked about last week, and you start identifying with atma at a very late stage. Right. Now the scriptures as well as Krishna say there is no hurry, this is not a fast track program, and there is no one with which you need to compare. You just need to compare with your own self. Compared to last year, am I better today? So, in fact, some acharyas ask us to maintain a Vedantic diary and start looking at how you have improved, right?
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Is there anybody else? Let me just quickly check that. One second. I'm just checking. There are no other hands raised. Yeah, there's a question here. Please go ahead.
The performing of Karma Yoga without attachment. Will it prepare us towards Jnana Yoga, or will it become that we are not performing Karma Yoga properly?
Okay. Detachment towards Karma Yoga, will it be seen as we are not doing Karma Yoga properly, or will it be seen as being preparing for Jnana Yoga? Most important point is nobody needs to see you as this or that. It's an internal journey, first of all. Second is, in this spiritual journey, the first stage is you are doing Sakama Karma. We discussed this, right? Because you are doing puja with a sankalpa saying that give this for me, ayur, arogya, aishwaryam, I want business, all of that. From that you are moving towards nishkama karma, right? Which is, you know, sarve jana sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. So when you are doing that, they don't forget about what others see in you, right? They may not be mature enough to understand or whatever it is, but you as a person, are you able to move from sakama karma to nishkama karma? That is what is preparing you for a jnana yoga journey. Okay? Good. Is there anybody else who's raised a hand? No. Now I'm going to take the questions that have come in the chat. One second. Oh, there is Venkateshwaran Gopala. I think you're self-muted. Venki Gangu. Okay, I think both of... go ahead, Venki.
Yes, ma'am. In the Radha Kalpana, is there a hierarchy as to which one supersedes the other? Example, is Jivatma is the master? Is that at the highest level and it controls the intellect and the intellect controls the mind? Is that how...
No.
Those
intellect is the one that is controlling everything, right? Because if you see the Jivatma as a master, there's a very subtle message there, right? So it's the driver, the intellect that is controlling the direction in which you're moving. So intellect is definitely, in this Janma, it is intellect which is going to help you progress on your journey. And as I said, the single biggest difference between animal Janma and human Janma.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Venkateshwaran Gopala, I think he's gone offline. Oh, okay. He's come back. Venkateshwaran? Okay. Let me look at the questions. Okay. Okay, I didn't realize that we had a problem. You're not able to see the slides in between, looks like. Okay. We spoke about the hierarchy. That was a question from Venki. Okay, why are sense organs important in spiritual journey? Aren't these organs distracting us? They are the window to the sensory experiences that we're going to have. So, the intellect has to control the mind and the mind has to control the sense organs. Because if we don't have the sense organs, then we would have no perception at all, right? So they are important in the spiritual journey, even to learn, because jnanam is knowledge. You learn by seeing, right? So you definitely need them, right? In the name of taking care of body, some people do that obsessively at the expense of doing other duties for the family. What should be the limit? Yeah, everything, any of these has to be moderated, right? That's what we learn. Whether it is work or whether it is taking care of your body or your exercise. If we consider people from a soul perspective in the Bhagavad Gita, then there is no difference between different people like Narendra Modi, Rahul or a dog. Anybody for that matter, right? If you look at it from the Atma, the higher nature, right? But we make our choices based on perceptions of their family. Right? One second. I just missed it. Yeah. Our choices are based on bodily characteristics. So how do we detach our senses from the material body and still do our dharma with respect to family, country and ourselves? That is the exact point that I talked about, nishkama karma. Right? It is difficult mindset, but gradually you have to move to that as you do more and more panchamaha yajna. Sridhar Srinivasan, presume the four stages of life is brahmacharya to sannyasi is applicable to both men and women. Can women do pitru yajna or shardam or pitru tarpanam when there are no brothers? We already spoke about this. There is permission in the Shastras for this, but this is outside the purview of Vedanta because Shardam comes under a ritual. So you have to ask somebody who is an expert, right? But it is possible and Manusmriti does talk about it. There is a list of people who can do Shardams and the daughter is listed in that. In today's age, the Grihasthashrama is not followed in the Vedic way. Any alternatives to get back on track? This is actually a difficult question, and it is a practical problem. We don't see that. We don't see Grihasthashrama in the old Vedic way. Whatever best we can follow, and that is why Swamiji says, instead of using ashrama vyavastha, let us use, you know, panchamaha yajna to execute to the best possible way, karma yoga. Okay? I have a question listening from US. This is Kalpana. You mentioned that our mind should be able to say no. But are we expressing ragadvesha? No, we are not expressing ragadvesha. We are using the intellect to decide what is appropriate and then directing our mind, right? Who is controlling the other organs, right? And the mind has to know how to control and ignore some of the sense organs if they are, in fact, Swamiji says, before the sense organ takes a powerful, form and becomes a desire, nip it in the bud, right? Okay, if I'm working as a software engineer, is that part of Niyata Karma? Obligatory duties are not this. Yes, you have to work for taking care of the family, but the Niyata Karmani that we are discussing here is towards your body, family, society, etc., but more focused on panchamaha yajna. But obviously you have to yearn and earning in a right or ethical way is what we discuss normally. But that is a samanya karmani as we discussed last class. Okay, I think we have exceeded quite a bit. So we will stop here and next class we will meet. Hari Om and thank you all.